I really need to talk to you about this morning in connection with our teaching program, with our efforts to teach. The first thing I want to tell you is that I believe exactly what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 when he said, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." Now that passage underlies everything I have ever done in preaching the gospel and in teaching people the Bible. I believe that the only thing I have to offer anybody spiritually is the Word of God. And if I can't do that, I have nothing else to give. I have nothing else to do. And that's why it is of the utmost concern to me that I help you to learn the Word of God. It is not enough for me to know the Word of God. It is not enough for you to just go through motions and wind up not knowing the Word of God. We have got to learn the Word of God. Because if we don't learn it, then it is not going to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. And so we must bend our efforts to do that. Now we have been starting out trying to do that. And what we're going to do is, instead of going through Hebrews through Revelation and scanning that last part, we're just not ready for that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back, and instead of starting in Genesis this quarter, we're going to have a survey that we call the three-cycle approach that several of the classes have had. And this would be preparatory for us as we begin our study of the Bible. And as we begin our study of the Bible, the purpose of that is to inform us of the Word of God, to help the Word of God to be in our hearts. And the thing is, I am absolutely, totally convinced that when I know about Abraham, when I know about Isaac, when I know about Jacob, I don't know just some stories about some men. I see stories of faith. I see stories that have things I am to imitate in my life. I have stories of things that I am to avoid. And all of this material is material God has provided for us. And when Paul wrote, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God," at that time, there were several New Testament books that had been written, and most of his books had been written by then, but still not near all of them had been written. And so a lot of the scriptures that he was referring to there were the Old Testament scriptures. And so as we know these stories, as we learn these stories, then we gain direction. We gain information. We learn about the promises of God, and we see those promises made and kept. Now, it's not enough just to have heard something about that. You need to know that. You need to know the details, because you need it for your faith. You need it for your children's faith. You need it for the faith of other people that you talk with, so that you can effectively study with those people. And what I want to do is to challenge you. I don't want to scare you. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want to intimidate anybody. I want to challenge you and hold out before you possibilities. There are possibilities. And I want to hold those possibilities out before you. I want to encourage you to know that you can learn. And whatever way it takes, then that's the way to do it. But you can learn. And I want to help you to do that. Now, let me go ahead now and sort of illustrate what we're going to be doing with this quarter that I'm talking about now. When you look at the Bible, the Bible is a complex book. The Bible is a complex book. Now, if you're going to grasp the Bible, you're going to have to sort of understand it, how it's laid out. Now, I want to ask you, does that make sense? Do you understand that? And it's like in whatever you do, whatever work you do, if I were to ask you to explain to me the work that you do, you would either be unable to do so because you don't understand it yourself, and all you can do is tell me some of the stuff you do. But do you see that if all you can do is tell me some of the stuff you do, and you can't really lay out the framework of what you do, then you haven't really comprehended it all yourself. But I'm sure that I could talk with some of you about what you do, and you could lay it out, and you could show me kind of organized things that you do, and you could explain that to me. The Bible is the same way. You have to understand the way the Bible is laid out. You have to be able to see the way the Bible is organized. Once you see that, it begins to open doors. It really begins to open doors. It's sort of like walking into a great big mansion that you've never been in before. You have no idea of the layout, and yet you're supposed to navigate throughout that mansion. You'd have no idea how to do it. Another thing that I like to use with people is, if you were moving into a house and people showed up to help you out, and there were boxes all out in the carport, and they said, "What can we do to help?" Well, can you just put the stuff on the shelves out in the carport? Those boxes that are out there, everything out there goes out in the carport. Just put it out in the carport wherever you can find a place for it. So they go out there and they unpack the boxes and put it wherever they can put it. Now, when it's over and you're ready to, everybody's gone now and everything is at least put somewhere, you get out in the carport and you look around. Now, you have at least a couple of options. Terrell, what's one of the options? Leave it the way it is. Take it the way it is. And what's the other option? Exactly. So what we're going to do now is we're going to organize the garage the way that I've organized it. If later on you want to organize it a different way, that's okay. That's okay, because there's no copyright on my organization. So you can organize it however you want. But I'm going to start out organizing the Bible in a way that then you will be able to see the parts of it. And that will help you comprehend it, to get a hold on it. The Bible is largely narrative, but it has some parts in it that are not narrative. And I've gone over this with you before. Now let me just see if you can remember. When you start out in Genesis, that's narrative. And we have narrative until we get to... Do you remember what portion it is that we get to first that is not narrative? No. I'm talking about a major section. The law. Okay? The law. All right, we stick the law in. Then we go ahead, we narrate until we come down to the time of Saul, David, and Solomon, and in the days of David and Solomon, we come to the second part, which is the wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then we have the divided kingdom and Judah alone and so on, and during those days we have the third portion that is not narrative. That's the prophets. And then we come to the New Testament and we have the epistles. But otherwise, it is a narrative. Now, the thing that makes the narrative divide up... Now, I want you to think of this. This is not something that I invented. It's just the truth of the matter. What determines the way you divide a narrative up? All right, the chronology is definitely one of the elements because you want to move it along following the chronology. You don't want to start at the end and go back to the beginning. You start at the beginning, go to the end. What else? The events. The flow of the events. So, for example, when you're reading about this man and he's born and he lives and he does all this wonderful stuff and everything like that, what do you think might be a good point to bring an end to his part in the narrative? Or when he dies or someone else comes along and supplants him or something like that. See, it's the flow of the events. And it's that way in life. See, we take the Bible and we tend to make the Bible an artificial thing and then it gets hard. Whereas, if you were going to tell about a fishing trip, you could divide the fishing trip up into parts. Like, you're getting ready. You're getting to the place to fish. You're getting your boat in. You see, you can do that. I mean, life is just that way. You can do anything like that. Anything that involves events. So the purpose of this is then to divide the Bible up into these periods and categories that will help us to be able to know what they are. This is just the beginning. And so I want to start out this morning with you. And the thing about this is, don't go into it like, oh, I've got to memorize this. No, you're not going to memorize this. You'll learn it, but it's a different thing from memorizing it. Now, for example, if I tell you the first period, can you remember that? All right. When I tell you the first period, I'm going to wind up telling you two of them. Because the first one is before the flood. Now then, I've just told you the second one. Because what would the second one be? Well, if it's after the flood, it's still after the flood today. So that wouldn't help you much, would it? No, that wouldn't help you much because then you'd have two periods in all the world's history, before the flood and after the flood. And we would have skipped what? The flood. So before the flood. Now here's another thing. What do you think that before the flood deals with? It deals with what happened before the flood. Now, do we have a handle on this so far? All right, so we have the stuff that happened before the flood. Now, the good thing about this is you say, well, I don't really know what all happened before the flood. Well, we're going to get to that. And then you will know. But this is the stuff that happened before Noah and the ark. This is all the stuff that happened before the flood came along. This is the stories like the creation and Adam and Eve and first sin, things like that. So that's before the flood. And then what's that second one? The flood. All right. The flood. That was Noah and the ark and things like that. Noah and the ark. All right, now when the ark settled, and we'll just kind of make this, like that. All right. What mountain was it? Now, isn't that nice? Isn't that funny how people will remember stuff like Ararat and won't remember other stuff? But that's good. I'm glad you remember that. All right, they came out of that ark after the flood and they came down and they traveled over here to a plain and then they built themselves a tower. Anybody remember what the tower was? Yeah, the Tower of Babel. So, after the flood, The ark settled on Mount Ararat. Then the people got out and they came over here and they built themselves a tower, the Tower of Babel. And what happened here was the scattering of the people. Okay? Now, the scattering of the people was in connection with the people were all together and they were all going to build themselves this tower that was going to be a monument to their civilization. And God said, no, I don't want that. I want them to scatter. I don't want people to be concentrated in one mass. So how did he scatter them? You remember? The different languages. So this one is number 3. All right, so let's do that again now. Number 1, before the flood. Number 2, the flood. And then number 3. Okay. Well, see, this part is just telling about the next event that comes. I didn't go into detail about the flood here. I didn't go into detail because I figured everybody had a handle on that. You don't remember about the flood?
Well, okay. You said, okay, before the flood and
the
then
flood.
The flood.
Right.
Okay. Now then, and I said,
yeah.
It was after the flood.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you're saying the flood, and I guess I don't understand that.
Well, the point that I was making with you, Jim, is that if you give only the category of after the flood includes the Tower of Babel and the patriarchs and Joseph and all the Old Testament and all the New Testament, and therefore that would be way too broad to be of any help. Now, it is true that this story right here is after the flood, but so is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and everything else clear on down to today. See, so my only point is that if we used only that other category, it wouldn't really help us in our organization and our knowledge. So what we've got is before the flood, okay, then if I had taken the time here to tell about the rain coming down and the flood coming up, you know, and Noah and the ark and everything like that, and then it comes to an end with the ark up here on Mount Ararat, and what I was doing was helping everybody to make a connection between this period and the next one. So that's the reason why I was doing it this way. This has been a way that I can hook these two together. Now, see, I'm doing that. I'm fixing it with hooks so that when I say before the flood, it has the hook of, well, if it's before the flood, then the next thing would be the flood. And then the hook between the flood and the scattering of the people is the idea of they got out of the ark on Mount Ararat and they went over here, and it's like they're going to make themselves another mountain. They're going to make themselves this tower over here. So that's just a little memory device. That's all that was for. So yes, remember that, yes, everything after this is after the flood. But that wouldn't give us enough detail to understand the organization of it, you know. It'd be like if you were going to understand the Constitution, you could just say, well, there it is. And then you wouldn't have any detail. So we have to detail our breakdown to give us some help in being able to analyze it. All right, so look, the 3 periods so far. What are they? First one, before the flood, and the scattering of the people. All right, now, when the people scattered, the sons of Noah, Japheth and his family, went north. They went north. Let me draw something else here. All right, here we go. All right, so we've got these 3. Now, I've got an interesting way to remember this in a little bit. May not get to it today, but I think you will enjoy it. All right, so we have these two rivers flowing along here. And they come, and then they come together. And then we have what's called the Persian Gulf. Anyone heard of the Persian Gulf today? All right, so there was a city called Ur. And so here's the way the families did. The family of Japheth went to the north, and then they went like this, east and west, like an umbrella. The descendants of Ham went over this way, coming over here to the Mediterranean, coming on down here into Egypt, and on out into Africa. And the descendants of Shem stayed in this area right here. Primarily, that's where they stayed, in Mesopotamia, Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And one of them lived right here in Ur of Chaldea around 2000 B.C. And his name was, when we first meet him, his name was Abram. And then later on became Abraham. And he was the first that we call the patriarch. So we have three patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and who was the other one? You remember who the third one was? Jacob, that's right. Now these are the patriarchs. The patriarchs. Now remember that after the flood, and the people came on over to the Tower of Babel, they were scattered, as this shows. The descendants of Shem stayed in this area, and here at Ur, we have the first of the patriarchs. So that the fourth period that we look at is the patriarchs. This is the time when they're coming along. So we can see chronology here. Years are going by. And we can see these events taking place. So by the time we get here to Ur in the story of Abraham, we can begin confidently assigning dates like 2000 B.C., 4,000 years ago. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are the patriarchs. Now there were other patriarchs, like Job was a patriarch, essentially. But these are the three that the Bible focuses upon because of the promises that God made to these three men. You all remember the promises God made to them? That He did make promises to them? Called the threefold promise. I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless all families of the earth through your seed. I will give the land of Canaan to your descendants. The patriarchs. Now then, let those flow. Let those flow. Don't just, you know, try to, oh, I don't know if I can remember those or not. Let them flow together. So start out now. What's the first one? Before the flood. Flood. Scattering of the people. And the patriarchs. The patriarchs. And with the story of these three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when we get to the story of Jacob, there is a story that follows his story, which is a linking story. It is the story of Joseph. Now the thing about the story of Joseph at the close of the book of Genesis, see all this, these first four periods we've looked at here, before the flood, the scattering of the people, and the patriarchs, all of that takes place in Genesis. And the last story in Genesis is the story of Joseph. Now the story of Joseph is essential to explain how a people living up here in the land of Canaan came to be living down in Egypt and were slaves down in Egypt. Now you all have heard of that, haven't you? About the Israelites being slaves in Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. So if you just think of the two facts, here were a people who were slaves down in Egypt, and yet their fathers were very wealthy patriarchs that lived up here in the land of Canaan. Now, what happened? See, what happened? Well, this is what happened. The story of Joseph. Because Joseph was not only sold down there, but then what did the family do? They moved down there and became inhabitants of Egypt and eventually became slaves to Pharaoh and so on. So those first four periods there carry us through the book of Genesis. And you, sometimes someone is tempted to say, well, why don't we join the flood and the scattering of people together? Well, the thing is, they were well separated by time. And they were two completely separate events. They had nothing to do with one another so far as the events themselves. In other words, the scattering of the people took place well after the flood, and it really had nothing to do with the flood. It was just chronologically after the flood it occurs. So I don't think it's a good idea to join them together, because they are widely separate in history and in purpose and everything. So those four periods now carry us through here. How's everybody feeling about your understanding of those four now? We got that together? So it's before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs. Now, if you remember that story of Joseph, see, that's the linking story, then that's going to take us down into Egypt, where the people are going to become slaves, and as slaves, you're going to know, or as slaves, they are going to want to get out of that. Right? They're not going to enjoy slavery. Most people don't enjoy slavery from all accounts. So they're going to want to get out. Well, looking around in this room, if you wanted to get out, what signs would you look for? There's one there that says exit. And that one back there says exit. And that one there says exit. Can you think of any other term that would have to do with getting out? Exodus. So guess what the fifth period is? The Exodus. The Exodus. Again, you see that? That's a logical thing. It's not just cold memory work. It is a logical thing. So that we have that before the flood, the scattering of the people, the patriarchs, and the Exodus. So the children of Israel are in Egypt, having moved down there in the time of Joseph, and then they become slaves, and now they want to get out. They want to get out. So the story that follows then is the story of how the Israelites got out. Now, eventually, we will go over this and we will learn more about the events. But at this point, I just want to ask, in connection with the Exodus, let's pull out just a few facts that the class here would know. What are some of the things that you associate with the Exodus? Moses, definitely. What? The plagues, right? See, everybody remembers that? Moses, yes. The plagues, yes. Pharaoh's hard heart, you know, the interaction of Pharaoh and everything like that. So these are prominent stories we remember about the Exodus. And when they start out, what is that thing they cross? The Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, the miracle there involving that. And as they travel down, what's that mountain they're headed toward? Yeah, Mount Sinai. They get down there. And when they get down there, God gives them the law. What law was that? The Ten Commandments and the law of the larger thing, the law of Moses, including the idea of the covenant that God made with them, the law itself, the tabernacle, and the priesthood. Now, one of the things I tell people during this quarter, I haven't had the luxury of doing this in a whole quarter very often. So I love to tell people, if you don't have this all, don't worry. This is not the last time we're going to go over this. so you can just, you know, relax. And if there are things you hear that you say, now I don't believe I got that, well, this is not the last time we're going to go over it. And we are going to give you books eventually. Now, I'm one that I don't like to stick a book in your hand the first thing because, you know, the way we tend to do books is we tend to open the book and read it and say, huh, yep, there it is, and close it up. Well, what did it say? I don't know. Well, open it again. Uh-huh, there it is. Well, what was it? I don't know. So I would like for us to use this time to get this fixed in our minds, because our Bible is not going to do us as much good by far as long as it remains words on a page, words in a book. We have got to transfer the substance of that book. I don't mean memorize the whole thing, but we do need to learn the lessons from it. So, we'll go over these things again, but right now you can remember the Exodus, can't you? Remember, the Exodus is tied on to the story of the patriarchs by the linking story of Joseph, because Joseph and that story explains how they came to be down there, right? So that's five of the periods now that we've looked at. So let's name them again. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, and the Exodus. All right, so the Exodus. The children of Israel are out of the land of Egypt, and they're on their way to the land of Canaan. And they travel on the way to Canaan after that period of time at Mount Sinai when they and God are doing business, but everything's on schedule. Everything is on schedule. And everything's going fine until they get to that place, Kadesh Barnea. And I'll give you a hint about what happened at Kadesh Barnea. It has to do with 12. The 12 what? Spies were sent out. And when they came back, they were full of tales about two things: how big the giants were and how high the walls were. And what the children of Israel do? That's right. They became frightened. They cried, we can't do it. And therefore, they would not go any further. That's when the Exodus came to a halt. And because of that, now they're sentenced. Now, everybody think about what have you heard that they then had to do for 40 years? Any of you, you remember what they had to do? Yeah, exactly. They had to wander in the wilderness. Well, guess what we call the period after the Exodus? The wandering in the wilderness. Now, if you want to say the wilderness and the wandering, which I sometimes do, but it's the, and it's easier to do that than you think. You know, the wildering and the wanderness, and so on. But it's the wandering in the wilderness, or the wilderness wandering. You can call it either one. But it's that period of time when actually Israel's being punished. Now remember, you've got these two very closely related periods. The Exodus, coming off the hook of Joseph. And then here's the Exodus, and they're moving along until they come to the edge of the land of Canaan. They won't go any further, and therefore they run into discipline, problems. Therefore, they have to wander in the wilderness. So you think about them wandering in the wilderness. Now that's six periods. That's six. Now once again, say them in your mind and just let them flow. So we start out. See, the first one is a freebie, isn't it? It's easy. The first one is what? Before the flood. So that means the second one is the flood. And then scattering of the people and the patriarchs. And then the Exodus, and then the wandering in the wilderness. So there they are, wandering in the wilderness. Now, you can figure and make a pretty educated guess. Either they're still in that wilderness wandering today, or there was something that brought an end to the wandering. So what would have brought an end to their wandering out there? they went in, didn't they? They got where they were going. So they weren't wandering anymore. They got where they were going. So they went in and conquered the land. So this is the invasion and conquest. Invasion and conquest. Now, doesn't that make sense? So you think they're wandering in the wilderness. And so in your mind, as you're trying to think about that, you can say, no, wait a minute. Now, what comes after the wandering in the wilderness? Well, they're not still out there. What brought an end to that? They got where they were going. Invasion and conquest. So they went in and they conquered the land and they divided the land up. Now, even in this type of study, this kind of drill, are you vaguely aware that of those promises God made to Abraham, I'll make of you a great nation, one of those is fulfilled there at Mount Sinai, because God now has the covenant nation of Israel. They invade the land. Now what about that one? Second promise. See that? And there's one that remains at that point, which is the promise of Christ and the blessings that would come through Him. And so that one's going to be for later on in the Bible record. But at this point, we see two of those three promises of God fulfilled. The very ones He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those have been fulfilled. So, all right, let's see. All right, we're still going on here. All right, so they got in the land, and is everybody all right with the invasion and conquest that brought an end to the wilderness wandering? All right, they got in there, divided the land up. Now, here's something that I'll dare say you've heard, that when they got in there, what were they supposed to do with all of the pagan tribes that they found? Because they were idolaters and God had put up with that idolatry, and now it was time in the judgment of God for them to be punished, eradicated, eliminated. And what did Israel do? Did they do that? They, not completely. They got rid of a lot of them, maybe even the majority of them, but by no means all of them. So the ones they left, see, again, you can figure this out without having to remember it. You can figure it out. What happened to those that left? What problem did they pose to Israel? They became a stumbling block because of their example. Right? Remember that? And so the Israelites then became involved in what? Sin? Idolatry. And when they would become involved in that sin of idolatry, they would apostatize. And God would let them fall into affliction. And some of you feel free to come up with four words that all begin with the same letter, but I'm not there yet. But apostasy, affliction, and the affliction would be when God would let them get into problems and turn them over to their neighbors, you know, and everything. Then the people would repent, and then God would give them deliverance. And He would give them deliverance through a personage called... So guess what this next period is? And that one follows the invasion and conquest, because in the invasion and conquest, they didn't invade and conquer everybody. And the ones they left then caused them problems. And those problems led them into the things during the period of the judges, their apostasy as they would go off after those false gods, the affliction in the hands of their enemies, and then they'd repent, then they'd be delivered by a judge. And one of the things that will help you, if you'll think about this, have you ever wondered why were they called a judge? Because, you know, you think about a judge sitting on a bench. Well, I don't think about a judge sitting on a bench delivering you from something. I don't associate deliverance with judges, usually. So the thing is that when God there during the Exodus, when He made His covenant with the people, they became His people. Now, as the covenant people of God, they had certain rights because of promises God made to them. I'll be your God, you will be my people. So they had certain rights. But what would happen to those rights when they apostatized? See, they would forfeit those rights. And they would fall into the affliction. Well, then they would repent. And when they would repent, then they would renew their covenant with God, so that once again, now what are they? The covenant people of God. As such, they had rights. And so God would raise up a judge to secure their rights. See that? That's why they were called judges. Even though often they acted as a military leader, as well as a judge in a more normal sense. But that's the judges. Now remember, the judges follows on the heels of the invasion and conquest, because they didn't invade and conquer everybody. And the invasion and the conquest follows on the heels of that wandering in the wilderness and brought an end to it. And the wandering in the wilderness falls on the heels of the Exodus, the going forth. And the Exodus follows, that's right, follows on the heels of this, the patriarchs. And the patriarchs follows on the heels of the scattering of the people, and that falls on the heels of the flood. And then what's before the flood? I love to do that. All right, so that's got us. That's got us now with six of the periods in mind. And the thing about having a quarter is you have time to do some drill on it. And we will be doing some drill on it. And we've got another project or two that Donald and I are working on that we're going to do. And I'll go ahead and tell you what that is. Not long after I first got here, I preached a sermon just narrating the entire Bible. One lesson. We failed to get it. Not Donald's fault. Technical problem, right? We're going to do that again, because a lot of people would like to have that CD so that they could then listen to it, and it would help. So probably next Sunday I'm going to plan to do that. And for the Bible study, I will narrate the Bible story, and we'll get that on a CD so that then you can use that just for your own study. But we will keep on with this Wednesday night, Lord willing. We will continue our work on this and getting it fixed in our minds.